There we go again. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. Chapter 4. In fact, chapter 4, practically the whole half part of it speaks about the second coming. But let's look at verse 17 and verse 18, the last two verses. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Obviously, about the second coming, but a different aspect, meeting Him in the air. Chapter 5. You're wondering that we have finished by chapter 5. See, you are saying, praise God, tonight we are finishing half an hour. Chapter 5. Notice, let's look at the verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but a different aspect. So we shall put all five chapters as speaking about the second coming of Jesus, but different aspects. And this is how the theme flows. In chapter 1, knowing that there are stories about Paul and the Thessalonians and all those things that transpired them, but there's an underlying theme in chapter 1. There is a teaching on waiting for the return of the Lord. And behind it is how to wait for His second coming. We all expect Him to come, and it tells us how to wait, what we must do while waiting for His second coming. Whether we are just going to sell everything we have, all our clothes on our back, and all your properties and transportation, and buy a white robe with gold colored slippers and climb up to the highest mountain you can. I'm sorry for you, got heels here. Or the highest building, that's right. You can. And wait on the helicopter pad for the second coming of Jesus. Which there are some extreme groups who do it. They don't know how to wait for the coming of Jesus. Just because some guy wrote a book saying 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988 in September and He didn't turn up. People panic and they didn't know how to wait for Him. I mean, whether He's coming tomorrow or He is coming next year or He's coming 10 years from now or 20 years from now or in the next 30, 40 years, there must be a way how to wait for Him. The secret is found in chapter 1. In chapter 2, it speaks about how to receive our rewards at His coming. It's not just waiting for Him to come. When He comes, something is going to happen. It's called the judgment of believers. And we need to know how to prepare ourselves that that day may be a day of reward for us. So in chapter 2, it speaks about the true reward at the coming of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, it speaks about waiting and for the coming of Jesus. In chapter 3, which flows in a totally different area, it tells us how to prepare ourselves for the second coming. So waiting is something, and the reward is another. Preparation is another. How to prepare with one another. How the body of Christ is to be prepared. In chapter 4, it speaks about what the second coming involves. What it actually is in, what actually is involved. About meeting Him in the cloud, the Lord descending with a shout, and the trumpet sounding. All those aspects of the second coming, what the second coming is about. Chapter 5 speaks about when or the timing of the second coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour. We will know the season. But he talks about aspects of the timing of the return of the Lord. And that's how we will flow with this theme. Let's look at chapter 1 now. And look at different aspects on waiting for the Lord. And the life of the Thessalonians have been given as an example in waiting for the Lord. It says here that they really look forward to the return of the Lord, and they've been faithful unto God. And there are three things here in verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. How to wait on Him? Number one, become a follower of the Lord and of those who follow the Lord. Be a follower of the Lord. Number two, verse 7, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Number two, you yourself become a somebody whom others can follow. After you become a follower for some time, you find that others will want to follow you. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. Or rather, he says, imitate me as I imitate the Lord. So, by the second point, they would be growing. Until now, they become examples, role models for others to follow. That's point two. Be an example unto others. Number three, verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. The third point is that they continue proclaiming the gospel. So they were proclaimers. There are three things in waiting for the Lord. Number one, being a follower. Number two, being an example. Number three, being a proclaimer. That tells us that when the Lord's coming is near, even if He should turn up tomorrow, we still preach the gospel. We don't have to climb up on the high mountain somewhere away. You could wait for the coming of Jesus on the street, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus Christ, and wherever you are. And that's the best way to meet the Lord, doing His work. So these are the three basic examples, and they follow one another. You can't be an example unless you follow first. And you can't really proclaim unless you have followed the Lord. A lot of people try to proclaim Jesus Christ, but they don't follow Jesus Christ. And as a result, nobody follows, because people are touched more by the life than by the words. The words that come from a true life will touch, but the words that does not come with a life backing it up does not touch anymore. Which is why one of the most devastating things to the body of Christ and to any organization is the fall of their leaders. It's one of the most devastating things. When a leader falls, entire congregations become disheartened. Praise the Lord. So we need strong leaders who could be role models to people. In order to do that, we have to establish our lifestyle carefully. We have to learn to follow the Lord. Then learn to live in a glass house. That is number two. Being an example is learning how to live in a glass house. Everything you do, public and private, becomes something that people watch. Then by the time you're number three, you're proclaiming it, it is stronger. And sometimes when a leader falls, and people find out that a leader falls, And then that same leader tried to get up and say something. Guess what? Everybody turns off. They don't want to hear the person anymore. Because they say, what can we learn from that person? But when it is a different person, when even if that person is obscure, he may be a pastor of a small little country town with about 1,000 inhabitants. Maybe all he has, his church is about 100 people. But he has been faithful to God. And he has been a follower of Jesus. He has been an example to his community. He may be from a village. But he may have experiences from God. And then when he comes out, and he may share in broken vocabulary. He may share without an education. He may not be able to speak as well as others who have been educated. But when he speaks, let me tell you, there will be people who hear. And that life will influence other lives. And it was good to come to know people in Malaysia, like from the East Malaysia, like Agong Bangau. He went to be with the Lord sometime last year. He is a prophet raised up by God in the area of Bakalalang in Sarawak. Entire village was turned to the Lord. And one of former graduates or Bible students is working on a book on the revival there that he hopes to publish. And I read the transcript and all the interviews that came through the past, and he gathered all the records or all those things. It's a very touching life, touching a testimony that I believe will influence other lives. And although he has gone to be with the Lord, yet whatever he says, he has been once to our church to minister, but there was something, although he can't speak English, he only spoke his dialect, his tribal language and a little bit of Bahasa Malaysia. But every word he said has something solid. There's something about him that I enjoy the fellowship with him. He's one of those few people who hear God easily. Very few people I met really are led by the Spirit. A lot of them are led part of the time. The other part of the time, they are led by a different thing. He's one of those who really led by the Spirit. But God took him home for a purpose and he went home early. But we are showing here how that when a life is dedicated to the Lord, it can be a stronger proclaimer in the body of Christ. I think about people like Sadhu Sundar Singh. He has only traveled the world once. And after that, he never traveled again. It was only once. As he traveled in the early days or middle, late days of his life, he traveled the world once. And after that, he did not go again. But that one travel impacted the places he has been to. And I read biographies about his travel. And that life continued to influence other lives. It's tremendous, the things that God can do. See, you could walk with the Lord for 30 years. And in 6 months travel to 100 countries and finish. And your impact can last for eternity. Or you could walk with the Lord for 3 days and then try in 1 year to travel to 100 countries. You find that you have more effort but less results. It just doesn't work that way. The system is be a true follower of Jesus. You're not after the limelight, you're not after publicity. All you want is the Lord. You don't care whether you're going to travel the world or you're going to travel down villages and just meet with one tribal person, share the gospel to two and give thanks to God. All you want is to love Jesus. Follow Jesus. Not follow people who want other things. You really want to follow Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You're always worshipping Jesus. You learn to be a true follower of Jesus. Your life will become a shining light. And after some time, everything that you proclaim, it says, is sounded forth throughout all the region. The Thessalonians have not even traveled all over those regions, yet their testimony traveled ahead of them. Almost everywhere I went, when I sometimes quote some of these men of God who have whose lives, although I never met them, some I met them had touched my life, and they said they heard about this person, places that person never had been to, and it's tremendous, the impact of a life lived for God. Geographically, you may never travel, but if you love the Lord, your life will impact others. Speaking on the evangelical side, there are others like George Mueller. He never traveled the whole world, but yet almost